Good morning, men, and welcome to the show. This is your host, as always, Todd Archer, and this is the Call of Men podcast. Men, I hope you had a great week last week. It's been in my prayer for you that whoever God has intended to hear this word has heard it, and you enjoyed the last show. This week, we're kind of following up from last week on the part of the Bible, God's word versus the Bible said. So that all stems from the reverence we have for God and giving God the credit for his word, not a book. And that stems from the fear of the Lord. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week, is the fear of the Lord. Now, we'll be covering about 3 points. What does fear of the Lord mean? Do we truly fear the Lord? And how do we return to fearing the Lord? I don't know about y'all, but for me, that fear of the Lord has always been a big question mark as to what does it mean to fear the Lord. If our God is such a loving and generous and merciful God, what does that mean? How do we fear God? And as I've grown and matured and studied God's word and built a relationship with God, I understand that it's not a terror fear or one that I'm scared of. It's a respect, a reverence for God, knowing that he does love me, and like my earthly father, that he will discipline me as I make mistakes. And as we grow and mature toward God, it is a fear, but it's a respectful fear. We know that at any point and any time, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us alive each and every day. If it wasn't for his will, we wouldn't wake up. So as far as a fear of being scared, that's the understanding we have, right? If you got in trouble at school or whatever, you wasn't really worried about what the school was going to do. You were more worried about what your dad was going to do or what was going to happen at home. And that's kind of the way I see this fear of the Lord, right? Is I'm not scared. It's more of a disappointment that I've let him down, that I've not met the standard that he set. Right. But we also understand his grace and love, and that he's going to walk us through and teach us in those moments. So it's having a profound respect, reverence, and awe for God's power and majesty, rather than being paralyzed by dread and terror. So we're not the fear the Lord in the sense that we're scared he's going to harm us or kill us, but just a fear of disappointment that we've let the Father down. It's also recognizing God's holiness and power while also embracing his loving nature, leading us to desire and obey his commands and live a life that pleases him. Just like we would with our dads, our earthly fathers, right? We want to try to gain their respect, right? But it starts that we, excuse me, have to have awe and reverence, recognizing God's supreme holiness, power, and authority over our lives, that he is in control of each moment, each day of our lives. This is not just a genie in a bottle. He is the one who loves us, who will correct us, who will discipline us, who will love on us, even in our failures. We have to have that, that he is who he says he is. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. And we have to understand that his authority in our lives is over our own wills and desires in our life. And that leads us to humility and dependence. You know, we have to have a humble awareness of total dependence on God. And humility comes from recognizing one's own inadequacy in comparison to his greatness, not our greatness. The only accomplishments, the only things that we are able to do is because God has allowed us to do them for his glory, for the building of the kingdom. And that's the foundation we have to stand on. That leads to obedience and commitment, a deep respect for God that leads to a desire to obey his commands and live according to his word, not your opinion of his word. The only thing that you use his word to verify, in my opinion, in my experience, is my testimony. The things that he has allowed me to live through in this life is how his word applies to my life. Other than that, everything that is written in his word is truth, the only truth. And we're not to change it. We're not to add to or take away from his wisdom and his guidance. God's word is the beginning of wisdom because it frees one from the fear of man and other worldly opinions. When we have 100% faith in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're not worried about what anybody else thinks. And this is where the disciples had it right. They understood there was nothing else to fear, right? That's the reason they could be martyred, be hung on a cross, be crucified, be burnt, be stoned to death, right? They weren't scared of what man thought. What they were was fear in letting the Lord down and not doing what he had commanded them to do. What Jesus had told them to do was go and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And they did that up until the point of death. They knew that through doing the will of God, they were promised eternity, right? And that's where we do not have the fear of the Lord. We're more scared today, and I know this has been my case for a long time. The fear of man is more scary to us than doing the will of God, because there's not that awe and reverence. Like I said in the last show, as is evident when we say the Bible says instead of the word of God says. It's simple, right? But it's difficult because the simplest things in life are usually the hardest things in life to do. And we have to come to a place of awe and wonder. Comes from seeing, you know, and that comes from seeing how good and powerful God is, both in his grand plan and in our daily lives. As I've shared on this show, and for some of y'all that's just tuning in, I have been walked through a bunch of things in my life, and I used to be mad, and I used to be frustrated about those things, right? You know, my papa died when I was young, and only time I prayed to God, and next thing I know, my papa, my grandfather's dead. I was mad. I was angry. You know, my mom putting a gun in my mouth at 12 years old and threatening to kill me and her both. I was mad. I was upset. There's different things that's happened in my life. My daughter having cancer, me almost dying. You know, there's things in my life that God has allowed to happen so he could build me into who I need to be today. And that's what we have to stand on, is the awe and wonder that his big plan is for us. His big plan is to grow us and to mold us, not for ourselves, not for the strength he gives us, not for the life he gives us. Our lives are not for ourselves. They're to bring glory and honor to the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of heaven. That's what our lives are about. And without the awe of that grand plan, the understanding of that plan, and being happy with it, because we know that he will never let us down. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. All the promises that are in God's word, these things we can stand on more than being scared of men. I don't care what men think about me. Doesn't matter. If I am standing in the truth of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is no man that I'm afraid of. You can't kill me, because then, like Paul says, what are you going to do? You're going to send me home. Okay, that's where I want to be anyway. But I'm here now, so I have to do his will. I have to honor him and glorify him by the actions that I do here on the earth. And that's more important to me now. Not that it is always has been, but that it is where I stand now. The reason I started this show back up, because I didn't fulfill my promise to God like I said I would through his blessing and leading my daughter through her battle with cancer and all the things I've seen through that. So now I'm back, because I realized I slacked up and I had not honored the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by holding up my end of the bargain. The fear of the Lord is not being anxious about the judgment of God. Look, we're all going to get judged. And he knows none of us are perfect. None of us are Jesus. But through his grace, it is sufficient for us. And what that means is we should not fear what's coming, because we fall, because we stumble, because we get off track, because we miss the mark, right? We fall back into some kind of sin. We shouldn't be scared of what God is going to judge us on that. Jesus Christ paid the price for sins past, present, and future for us, for our whole entire lives. So we must get back up, right? Get back up and keep moving forward, knowing that God's grace is sufficient for us, no matter what it is that he calls those he has chosen to him, and his grace is sufficient. It's not to drive us away from God, but to keep us from becoming arrogant or presumptuous and drifting away from God, all right? We should know that through his power and his grace and his love and his mercy for us, his creation, his image bearers on this planet that he created, that he wants to bring us back. You know, it's kind of like the thorn in Paul's side, right? God told him, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient. God wants every one of his creations to be with him in the new heaven and the new earth. He is patient because we have not seen the return of Jesus Christ yet, right? But we don't know when he's coming back. So there should be that fear that each day there should be that sense of urgency in our lives to do what he has called us to do each and every day, because you may not have the chance tomorrow, right? And we don't want to be in heaven facing the Almighty God and knowing that we didn't do everything that we did. I think a good example of that is I was watching Ed Mylett. He's got a great podcast, the Ed Mylett Show. He was talking about when he gets to heaven, you know, this is how he sees it, is that he's going to meet who God had intended him to be and who he actually was. And when he gets to heaven, he wants to know the him that God had created to be, not be lacking in the one that's in heaven looking at himself that he actually was. He wants to be exactly who God had created him to be. And he wants to know the other version of him that God had planned. He wants to step fully into that. And I think that's where we have to stand, as far as we want to be everything that God created us to be. You know, and it's just about acknowledging God's justice, his wrath against sin. It also includes recognition of God's love, mercy, and holiness. Like I was saying before, all of this is bringing us back to, look, we understand we have the text, the Holy Scriptures, God's word from the past, that we are no different at this point in time in creation, in the history of creation, through God's word, that there was a flood, that he wiped off every human being, animal on this planet, except for eight. We're at that point now with the degradation of humanity. We're at that same point. Our evil nature, our sin nature is full to the brim. It's back to the point to where God is like, what are y'all doing? You have the truth, the history of humanity, and yet you continue to go toward that desire and that will instead of my will. You're bringing me to the point to where, even though I want every one of my creation, my image bearers and my likeness, to be in the new heaven and the new earth with me, my patience is running out again. That it's time, that any moment our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could be returning to call back to God what is God's. So we have to understand that it's only because of God's mercy and his will for our lives, because we are his creation, that we can even speak of salvation, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Right? We have to make sure that we gather as many as we can back to the kingdom of heaven, not to be lost in this world. And it's a sense of urgency in that the time is short. God's patience, his chosen, he knows each and every one of us by name. And he knows when the book of life has been completed. And when that day comes and the last name has received Jesus Christ and come back to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, then it's that time, right? I mean, it's over. And those who haven't accepted Jesus Christ are going to be separated from God forever in eternity in hell. And as bad as I don't like some people, I hope that nobody has to suffer that, especially anybody close to me, family, friends. I know you feel the same. You know, it's a great comfort and peace to know that it makes your life so much easier to live when you know your wife, your sons, your daughters, your father, your mothers, whoever that is close to you in your life has accepted Jesus Christ. And you know, on that day, when they pass away, when the physical death of this body comes to fruition, where they're going, you can take comfort and peace in knowing that you will see them again in the kingdom of heaven in the presence of the Lord, and you will know them and you will recognize them, and there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. And that's the mercy, grace, and love and the holiness of the only one who completes and grants our salvation. And that's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, do we truly fear the Lord today? No, I don't think so. If we look at the church today, the answer to this is no. And what I mean is we have only focused on the grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice for us on the cross, which is amazing and thankful and, again, shows his mercy and holiness. But we have to understand who our God is, too. Like I said a while ago, this is, I mean, when God wiped everybody out, right? Except for eight people. This is part of the fear that we have to have, that time is running out. And we have to follow the command of Jesus Christ in that we should go and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth so they know. So that when that time comes, when Jesus Christ returns, that we have done and answered all that he has called us to do. We have to remember, we can't forget who our God is. This is the God who put the Israelites in exile because of their disobedience, because they're choosing to worship idols. They're choosing to worship themselves. They're choosing, as was in the garden, themselves over God. And Jesus even says that he did not come to bring peace but a sword in Matthew 10:34, which means that the truth of Jesus's message will divide families, friends, and the world into those who truly fear the Lord and understand and want to please the Lord, and those who do not. And we understand that those who choose the fear of the Lord, that he opens our eyes to the truth, that we see what he is doing in our lives. It's not being mean, it's not being harmful, but it is discipline to correct us and to move us to where he wants us to be in order that we can fulfill what he has created for our lives. And that's going to happen, like I said before, on plenty of shows, whether you choose to do it willingly and obediently, or you don't choose to follow the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. His plan for your life is going to come to fruition. And I choose to do it willingly, to see it, to allow him to open my eyes, to let me see his work in those moments. As when my daughter was sick, to let me see his little handprint, his handprints through our journey in that, to give me the peace, the hope, and the comfort that he provided through that year of chemo and sickness and rushing to the emergency room at 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning and snowstorms and rainstorms and everything else, just his provision and getting us there, putting the people around us that we needed for support and love and comfort, and the doctors and their wisdom and their ability and their caring, just everything that he did, it was there, right? And I have, in the fear of not having that peace and hope in my life is more scary than worrying about what a society thinks about me. And that's what the disciples did. They didn't worry about what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the people who were worshiping. They didn't care what they thought. They just wanted to spread the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's where we have to be. We have to be more scared of not having that peace, comfort, hope, provision that it brings in being and walking with the Father. And that is where we have to be, and that's where we have to get back to, is the fear of the Lord, is the fear of not having his peace and hope and comfort in our lives. And we don't have that because we do not stand on the authority of God's word in two areas of our lives. That is, we are made in the likeness and image of God. This means out of all creation, and we talked about this, that he handcrafted us. Everything else he spoke into existence, us he handcrafted. There is something different. We have a soul, a spirit. We have the authority and the power granted to us by the one who created us, the one who breathed his life into our nostrils. And that's what we have to stand on, that he chose us to be his likeness and image. And we have to stand on that truth, but we don't. We think that we're not adequate. We think that we don't measure up, and we think that we can't be what he created us to be. But that's not true. His design for us was to be in his presence, to walk with him, to have a relationship with him, so that he could show us and be interactive with us. And that's never changed. He's never left us. When we choose to fear him in a manner that honors him and glorifies him and want to do the will of the Father instead of the will of our selfish selves, then we are in relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. And we have to stand in that truth. And we have to know in our hearts that we are God's image bearers, likeness and image on this planet. He has given us all the authority. There's no want. There is no need for us to be anything other than what he created us to be. And we must stand in that truth and believe it. And we also have to believe that we are not of this world through our faith and belief in Jesus Christ. When Jesus says you are a new creation, we have to believe that we are a new creation. We can't say, well, I'm just a sack of bones or sack of trash in this flesh. No, you have to know that, yes, spiritually, as Jesus says, it's not what is on the outside of a person that defiles him, but what's on the inside. And in order to be a new creation, you live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Where we, by our nature, have lived by the flesh and our own wants and our own desires. And as we grow in that relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when we grow in that, we have to stand in the fact that these things that we used to do in the past, that we're not that anymore. We are now, through the sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are now returned back to the original state that we were supposed to be in the garden, in walking with the Father daily, to go to him for everything daily. His provision has never stopped. He has never stopped loving us through his grace and mercy that we see all through Scripture. We have to stand on that fact that we now have that relationship with him through our faith and belief in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have to stand in that truth that we are no longer what we used to be. We are now what God intended us to be from the beginning. We are his temple. You are his temple, and we have to stand in that fact, and we have to believe in that fact, just like the disciples did. And we have to attack each and every day with the passion, with the authority, with the belief, the faith that they did, that they weren't scared to die because they love Jesus Christ. And we can't be either. We have to be who he created us to be. Again, we fall short. We listen to the lie of Satan. Did God actually say? Today, we're more afraid of man's opinion of us as followers of Christ than standing in the truth of God's word and the words of Jesus. No matter what man thinks, we must stand on God's word. In Mark 8:33, after Peter admits that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, even Peter tries to rebuke Jesus because he's telling them he's going about his death and his resurrection. And what does Jesus say? He's in 8:33. He says this to Peter, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So even Peter, the one that he was going to use to build his church on, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," after he just told him the Father in heaven had given him the knowledge that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. So it's easy in the moment to get caught up in thinking of the things of man. Excuse me. And in verses 34 through 38, we see that we should fear the Lord because of the truth he speaks, in that we are to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. That's what we're to do. Just to live a life just as Jesus has lived it. We are to hate sin like the Father, Son, and the Spirit hate sin. The consequences of having more fear of the world than God will lead us to permanent separation from God, to be in hell. As stated by Jesus in Mark 8:38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." We should live in God's grace on us in his Son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for his children. We must not say we have, my notes are a little crazy here, so I apologize. Right? We have to stand in his grace, and we have to believe, we have to accept the grace, love, and forgiveness through Christ. And then, because of the command of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we are to share it with the world. We cannot continue to sin in the same place where we were when we accepted the freedom of Jesus. Through that gift, we should be filled with the will to go out and share Jesus with everyone. But we don't want to do that because we try to change God's word. We try to change it to make it more fitting to the people that we're speaking to than just speaking to the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we do not, we should fear the consequences that come from continuing to live in this world and not being separated from it. We are to be separate, just as we were in the garden. He created us in and of the world, but he separated us from the world in the special place that the Father had created for his creation, his likeness and image, in the Garden of Eden. And we have to separate ourselves from this world today, just like God had intended in the garden. When we do this, we should fear what Jesus says in Matthew 7:22-23. "And on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?'" This is the scariest part of the Bible. "And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There has to be that relationship. There has to be that Father-Son relationship in us with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, with the triune God that we serve. There has to be that relationship. There has to be that fear. There has to be that respect. There has to be that awe of his authority and his power and his grace and his love and his mercy that he shows it. All of it together, we have to get back to being, losing all of that instead of what the world thinks. I know in my life, the peace and grace of God is shown through so much that I don't know how. I see why there's so much depression, anxiety, suicide, confusion on what gender you are, or that you even think that somehow in your life you could be a cat, a dog, a whatever. I can see that not having the peace of God and Jesus Christ in my life would lead you to those things, because there is no, you don't have the fear of losing that. to me is what the fear of the Lord means. The peace, the comfort that he brings. And it's through a life that he's allowed me to live, the things that he's allowed me to happen to me to bring me to this point that I'm talking to you today, right? And losing that is more, puts more fear in me than what any man can think about me. And it should be for each one of us. And if we, and God is continually working on us. That's reading Jesus hadn't returned yet because God is patient. And he's waiting for each one of those names that are in the book of life that he put there because he chose them, that he's continually waiting and growing them and bringing them to the point to where he loses none of them. Right? So Jesus has paid the price that we should have paid, that we are to God off the hook, and to some extent that a true, but in the cleansing blood of Jesus and us being seen by the Father as looking clean because of Jesus, this is what leads us to honor and fear the Lord, right? That we are, he looks upon us as a son. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? I only can do what the Father tells me to do. I only do what the Father does. And that's the way we should be. What does the Father do? He loves. He shows grace. He shows mercy. He shows all of these things. And we should too. But we shouldn't be afraid to also stand up for the things and hate sin like God hates sin. We can't be wishy-washy with the world. We can't be in and of the world. Our thought process, our truths have to be different. And our truths and our thought processes stem from knowing and believing that the Word of God in the Bible that contains his word and his truth, we have to stand that it doesn't need to be interpreted. It doesn't need to be broke down. It doesn't need to be anything. This is the word of God. Yes, we understand that in context, and there's things that we have to understand about the times. But one thing we have to know more than anything is humanity's never changed. The situations within the scriptures of God hasn't changed. We are just as deprived and evil now than as we were from the beginning after the fall. We are no different than those who are trying to build a tower to Babylon. So that truth that humanity is as evil now as it was in the day and after the fall, until the day of Jesus, all the same things are happening. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they too understood the word. They could read it, and then they tried to manipulate it into what they wanted it to be to benefit them. We do the same thing in the churches across America today, right? Some of these pastors in the prosperity gospel and in the United Methodist Church in saying, oh, well, we can allow gays and homosexuals and women to lead our church. No, you can't, because that's not what the Word of God says. That is an abomination to what he has created. And if you think or say anything that contradicts, you better be fearful of the Lord, because he doesn't take kindly to people changing his word. And you may not see it now, but there is going to be that day of judgment when you have to stand in front of God Almighty, and that judgment is going to come through. And in that fear, you need to honor God's word and live by God's word and spread God's word, so that when that judgment comes, yeah, you're not going to be perfect, and it relies on Jesus, right? Like the guy on the cross. Why are you here? The guy on the middle cross said I could be here. We understand that truth. And that's what we want for every human being on this planet. And we can't be more scared of man and spreading that gospel that we have no reverence for the one who can kill the body and the soul. So the fear of the Lord is, to me, having more respect, honor, and fear of what the Almighty God, the creator of all things, can do by my not, by me putting the fear of man above the fear of what he has done for me. That because he has shown me grace and he has shown me love and he has shown me mercy and he has shown me the peace in my life that I seek, the fear of losing that is more powerful to me and should be, I think, to all followers of Christ. The fear of losing that is scarier than what any man could do to me ever. I know no matter if the man kills my body, I will be with the Father and I will be in heaven because that's the promise he's given me through my faith and belief in his son, Jesus Christ, that I will be in eternity with him. I thank him daily for that peace that he has given me. Now, does my life look perfect? Does my life, do I stumble? Do I fall? Do I trip? Yeah. And before I would think, I never have the right to say these things about the Almighty God that we serve. But like I said, through his word and through having a relationship with him, I understand that his grace is sufficient. Learn what I need from the mistake that I made. Apply it to my life through the discipline that he's enabled me to live my life by. And step on to the next step. Don't stay in the past. Quit looking backwards. Quit worrying about what you were. And step in fully to who God created you to be. And the peace and the comfort that comes from knowing that he is with you, that he is walking with you. Because the fear of the Lord to me is walking in this crazy, messed up, deranged world without the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Walking in this world without that peace, without that comfort, and without that strength, and knowing that the creator of the universe has made this moment just for me. He built me for this. That not having that is the fear of the Lord to me. And I hope that in some sense, this has helped you get to a point to where you see that walking in this world without that peace and comfort of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the fear that we should be in. Is that if we continue in our derangement, in our sinful nature, in the way we are, that someday he's going to let us go to that. And we know where that leads. That leads to hell. Total separation from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that scares me more than any man killing me today. So, hope that's kind of clarified some of the fear of the Lord when we hear it. That's just what God has shown me, what he's walked me through, and kind of what it means to me. Hopefully that sheds some light and clarifies it for you. Me and I will be praying for y'all this week. Go out and stand in the confidence and the truth that God has made you exactly for whatever moment you're standing in. Stand in that truth and be not fearful of God or not fearful of man in speaking the truth of God. We have to be more fearful of losing his strength, his peace, his comfort than we are of a man criticizing us or calling us out because of hypocrisy or whatever. Doesn't matter. If we keep coming back to God, if we're in that relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who cares what a man thinks? As long as we're standing on the truth of God, we should not be fearful of speaking to any man and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. because of what any man thinks, but we should be fearful that if we do not, that God would turn us over to ourselves. And that's scary. And I do never want to be turned over to myself again. And I hope you don't either. So men, as you go out and do what you do this week, remember to answer the call of men.